Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the High Vibe Tribe podcast. I'm Marcy Newman, your host. I have a wonderful, wonderful guest with me today, and I'm going to just tell everybody right up front, it took me a long time to get her here. So I am absolutely thrilled to introduce you to Jo Jason. Jo, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. And yes, it did take quite a long time. Glad to be here, finally.
Well, you know what? We all lead such busy lives. And I know our audience, once they start to hear what you do, how much you do, right, they will understand like why it has taken us so long to get here, but it is so worth it. And I'm very honored and thrilled to have you.
Grateful to be here. Thank you.
So let me just tell our audience a little bit about you. Everyone, I actually would like to invite you to take a deep breath into your heart and just release your breath out, because the world that we're about to enter into through Jo's work and her own heart and how it comes forward is the work of the sacred feminine. And so we're calling her forward. And now let me tell you about Jo. British born, which you will hear, she still has some of that in her accent as she speaks, is a self-taught intuitive painter, teacher, and author. She's internationally known and acclaimed for her work on the sacred feminine and is the author of the award-winning book, Self-Love Through the Sacred Feminine. Now I know you understand why I wanted her here. She also has an accompanying oracle deck. And again, when you see the images of this, it's just spectacular. Through her paintings, she teaches self-healing and self-development to women worldwide. She sells her paintings, prints, guidance cards, and meditation tools internationally. She's lived in New York for over 20 years and continues to expand her work on the feminine with a new Zodiac series that is in progress. As an intuitive artist and teacher, Jo, focuses looking through the lens, the perspective of the feminine aspect of healing. We know as women, of course, that self-love is the basis of all of that healing. And of course, the catalyst for unleashing our self-empowerment and inspiration. And so let me welcome you officially, Jo. And again, so thrilled that you're here. And I want to just dive right into our discussion of self-love through the sacred feminine and why this is so important. So first off, I want to ask you, from your perspective and your incredible depth of experience, what is so important in terms of the sacred feminine reaching this point of true self-love?
Well, the sacred feminine, is the feminine, I should say, is the aspects of ourself that are compassionate and forgiving and allowing and receptive. And in order to heal ourselves from anything really, we need to approach ourselves with those aspects. We call it the sacred feminine because the sacred feminine is an aspect of the divine. So as is the divine, the sacred masculine, and the masculine being the component to the feminine. So as individuals, whether we're male or female, we have the masculine and feminine within us. Most people have them a little unbalanced. And because you can have a female that has a very strong masculine and not developed feminine within her, and vice versa. So it's important for people to understand this is not about being male or female. It's about having aspects of ourselves that are in balance. But with regards to self-love, we need to be able to tap into the feminine aspects and develop them and nurture them and grow them so that they can serve us in our quest for self-love. And there isn't a soul on this earth that has not or doesn't have to work on moving towards, or I should say back to self-love. Because, you know, before we're incarnated, we are in a place of self-love. So that is fully recognized and fulfilled. And it's this journey in this physical life that takes us further away from that. So it is a journey backwards in a way. But that is how the feminine is so important to self-healing. I just wanted to add that there are masculine aspects that are needed for healing too, like boundaries. Boundaries is a very masculine aspect. So they're needed too. But in order to approach ourselves, we need to sort of tap into the feminine. It's a feminine path.
So in terms of universal energies and the feminine being the great receivers of the universe, is that why self-love is a feminine journey, a journey through that energy? Is it so that we can reach that level of receptivity that allows us then to become fulfilled and extended?
It's more, it's yes, in a way, but it is more solely and simply the aspect of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
That if you can't approach yourself with compassion and all of your, what you would perceive as your broken pieces and all of the experiences that you have experienced that have caused hurt to you or to others, then if you can't approach it with compassion, you can't even begin to heal it. So compassion is kind of or love / compassion is the umbrella where everything else is underneath that, as it were. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so from your perspective then, Joe, is self-love the journey of tapping into that? Or how do you see self-love? Because I know, you know, it's sort of been bastardized, right? A lot of people look at self-love, or you mentioned self-love and their eyes roll back, or they become livid.
Well, it becomes like little catchphrases, a bit like the word goddess. It's become a little bit of a catchphrase and means nothing really about really what it's meant to mean. A lot of people confuse self-care with self-love, and self-care is an aspect of self-love. It's important to have self-care within self-love, but it isn't, self-care can be just a band-aid if the inner work isn't done. So, you know, self-care can be things like, giving yourself a bubble bath or taking a nice walk or, feeding yourself nourishing food. Those are self-care aspects of self-love. But if the inner work isn't done, if you've not looked at your darkness, if you've not looked at your pain, and if you've not looked at your wounds and forgiven all aspects of them, then self-love can't be fully achieved. And self-care becomes like a band-aid in a way.
Mm.
So self-love really is an understanding and an awareness of the true fullness of yourself, that there's nothing lacking, there's nothing missing. And that's a journey that can't be achieved overnight. And when you have that fullness, or at least have the awareness of it, because it's very easy to forget it too with everyday life. When you have an awareness of it and an understanding of it, then you're more inclined to feel full enough to be of service to others, to be in healthier relationships, to be fully moving towards your full potential in this life. So that's why self-love is so important. That's what self-love is. It's a little bit more than just, you know, liking yourself.
Yeah. What I'm hearing that is so important are, number one, you know, self-acceptance, accepting, like you said, all of those parts of yourself. Obviously, even those that you had previously thought to be unlovable.
Right.
But also you talked about forgiveness.
Mm.
What does forgiveness have to do with self-love?
Well, I'm sure most people have an understanding. I would say most relatively aware people have an understanding that holding a resentment to another for something that they may have done to themselves would only be a disadvantage to the person holding the resentment. So there's that aspect in that forgiveness for others is a service that you do for yourself, not for the other. But also the forgiveness that one needs to have for yourself and for things that you may have regretted in the past and pain that you have also caused to another, or ways that you have felt that you have disappointed yourself. So you cannot achieve fullness in yourself if you are holding resentment for another or holding sorrow for yourself.
So it just keeps coming back to the self.
Absolutely. And that's why when I describe it, I think I describe it in the description in the book, is a journey back towards the self.
Mm.
It doesn't actually, eventually, when you work through it, and I explain this in my book, it doesn't actually really involve anybody else.
Mm. Yeah. What was the inspiration for your book?
I had very much a calling to paint these 13 archetypes, feminine archetypes. And I started that in 2011 and I finished in 2016. And it was a very long journey that came about after the breakup of my marriage. And like for most people, when we have big events like that, like a divorce or a death or a loss of something, job or a home or whatever it may be, they usually are there, those kind of events, to turn your life upside down, but also to mirror back to you what needs to be healed and what needs to, it's the endings always come with the opportunity and potential for new beginnings. So So that's kind of how it kind of emerged. But I followed kind of the calling to paint the images first. The self-love aspect came after I had received, you know, quite a lot of wisdom that I had gathered from painting these energies that I painted. And I put, you know, I kind of put all of this, these messages and information together. And when I looked at it all, I realized that that's what it was. It was a path to self-love through these images and through the stuff that I had received whilst I painted them and, you know, during the painting process and whatever. So there was so much information, and it all, you know, obviously it was my path as well, you know, through those 6-7 years that I had, it was really 7 years, I had gone on a journey with these images and these energies that I'd painted, these archetypes, and really come out of it a very different person. So, yeah, so it kind of unfolded itself. It revealed itself to me, you know, I would say by 2014, 15 into 16, I kind of I had a clue that this is what was going on.
Now, those images, have they become the basis for your work since then? Or were they significant expressions of your own journey as you went through it, and now you're in a different vibrational frequency? How do you see them?
That's a really good question. No one's ever asked me that before. But it's really a really good question, because it's very true what you're pointing at. I am not in that space anymore, no. However, I do teach from those images, yes, very much so. I still teach this journey. I still teach their wisdom. And I still have to circle back to it myself, because humans, you know, we get caught up in the physicalness and the density of life. And but saying that, you know, I still remain very, very different to how I was when I first started those paintings, very completely different person. And so, but yes, I do still teach from them. I still work with them, but I am in a different space, and I am focused on other things now, for sure.
So would you say, Joe, that as you're using them to teach, that each individual taps in or tunes into the vibrational frequency of each image?
Well, that tends to happen. That tends to happen when you look at the image. So people are drawn to the images for a number of reasons. One of the main reasons that people are drawn to an image is because, whether they're conscious of it or not, that wisdom that's behind the image is meant for them. So that has been shown to be the case now for 10 years now for me, witnessing people being drawn to certain images and why, and that has never failed to be wrong. But it also can be, you know, people can be attracted to my images, particularly because it is something that a potential that they have within themselves they haven't fulfilled yet, and it's kind of shining out at them, and it's attracting them. So there's that as well.
How amazing. Absolutely amazing. First off, I mean, even this whole concept that an image that you've painted, right, actually holds a vibrational frequency.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah.
And I would never, if you told me that 15 years ago that I would do that, I would have laughed. And so don't be ridiculous. But I've witnessed it. I've witnessed people come when I do shows. I've witnessed people come to my booth and stand in front of a, you know, an original painting or a big print or whatever and burst out crying. I've had that so many times. I can't even remember how many times that has happened. So without a doubt, and I would not have believed that myself had I not witnessed it. So
there's something that keeps coming up, and I can feel my resistance, but I have to bring this up, and I don't even know if I'm correct. Are there 12 stages to the cross that the Catholic Church teaches?
I don't know. I'm unfamiliar with that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Because the book is 13 chapters. It's 13 stages. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you're thinking of connecting that, maybe.
I was thinking, because I also am really unfamiliar with it. I just know that I've heard it referenced before. And I'm not even certain that the number is correct. I think what struck me in terms of similarity is the journey. And right. In both cases, it is the journey back to self, the yes. True self,
right.
The illuminated self, the purest expression of self.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I will add that, you know, doing the journey may have to be done several, multiple times, because as you know, I'm sure you know, we grow and expand in a spiral manner. We don't grow in a straight line. So each time we have more awareness and more wisdom and more understanding, then we can go, when we get to a higher level, as you spiral around, we're a little bit higher, we can go around the same place again, but from a higher understanding, a more awareness. So each time we go through this journey, we redo it and go through it, we go deeper into our awareness and our understanding expands even more. So it isn't a one-time job.
No, it isn't, is it? In fact, it's I often say it's a full-time job, 24/7.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, regardless of where you are and right. What you have experienced and...
Right. And, you know, and you're called to do that kind of work when you're ready for it, you know, and not everybody is at the same stage and not everybody is called to do it either. So, but it comes as a feeling of a yearning for more, to feel more peace with yourself.
I love that. I love the way you just described that as the heart's yearning. I would imagine it's to be just the most pure expression.
Yes. And I will say, it's funny because I have a painting called The Yearning, and I was talking about it with somebody the other day, and we're talking about the word yearning. And I was saying to them, and I will probably write about this at some point, but I was saying to them, it's impossible to yearn for something if you haven't experienced it before. So you can't yearn for something you don't know.
That's right.
And so the yearning for this kind of work, this kind of piece, the destination of peace, I should say, or the experience of peace, comes because we have experienced it before we were incarnated, when we were, you know, back into our soul light, as it were. So It's an unconscious, or sometimes it can be conscious, remembering of that that causes the yearning.
I am feeling like such a sense of how can I describe this? I'm totally at peace, but I'm also recognizing that through this journey, we achieve a certain level of being seen and heard and felt and recognized that begins within ourselves. And of course, then as we are manifesting it, it comes full circle in that partnership, that sacred partnership. Do you think that maybe that's where the sacred male energy comes forward in the expression of it?
In what respect? I'm not understanding what you're, the question.
Well, I guess the action that's necessary in order to bring it to fruition, right? So I'm just thinking about in terms of the sacred feminine becoming this expansive state. And as you said earlier, it is the embodiment of compassion. And then in that expansive state, there is an opening that has been created for the extension to take place of love. And I was suddenly getting the image that that's, you know, maybe the role of the sacred male, you know, with, as being the extension of that.
No, I don't think it's an extension. I wouldn't say it's the masculine as an extension, but as a component.
A component.
And not an opposite either. So, you know, we have to be able, as humans, to be very balanced in both. And so we need to have time when we allow ourselves to be, and then we have to have time to allow ourselves to do. That's the masculine.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have time for ourselves to receive. We have to have time to give. That's the masculine. We have to have time for us to be tapped into our wisdom, which is intuitive. And we have to have time to learn new knowledge. That's the masculine. We have to have time to be allowing and just receptive. And then we have to have time where we are being productive and striving. That's the masculine. If we don't have those in balance, we will find it hard to function in life. When one is more dominant than the other, there'll be a little disharmony in your life. And so, I mean, like I was telling you before this call, you know, I was run ragged with so much work, doing so much that I had no time to be. So although I'm very strong in my feminine, I wasn't honoring it very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there was massive disharmony in my life because of that. So that's really how it all fits together. You can't have one without the other. You can't have the feminine without the masculine. You can't have the masculine without the feminine. So that's what we're seeing in our world today. This world has been predominantly masculine led. And there's much disharmony, as we all know. And so now there is a rising of the feminine that is coming back into the foreground. And it is starting very slowly to balance stuff out. So the two work hand in hand. They're never separated, and one is not an extension of the other. They're components of each other. They're like the two sides of a coin.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think what you articulated was exactly like what I was thinking in terms of.
So just so so just to come back to like the title of my book, the Self-Love Through the Feminine, Sacred Feminine, doesn't mean that you're not going to be tapping into your masculine. Doesn't mean that at all. Just means that you are using your feminine aspects to lead you through this journey.
So when you're working with clients, do you use your book as a guide? How do you work with them one-on-one?
I do use the book as a guide. And I do use each of the chapters' lessons as a guide. Some people may have just maybe, half of those 13 lessons that they need to really work with. Some people may need all of them, depends on the individual. But yeah, each of those lessons or chapters in the book relate to everybody. There isn't anybody that wouldn't be relatable to.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously each individual has certain lessons they need to work on more, for sure.
Which is why some of those images, as we said before, vibrationally resonate with some more than others.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Now, I know you have an art and healing retreat coming up in the fall. And I want to say, yes, finally, venturing out and saying, we will be together. Can you tell our audience more about that?
Yes, it's going to be, the dates are hopefully October 7th to the 10th. And it will be in the Berkshires in Massachusetts. It will be a 3-night retreat. We'll be doing art projects that are focused on accessing our creativity, but also accessing ourself. So, and there will be meditations and gatherings and some yoga stretching, I think we will be doing in the mornings. And it'll just be 3 days of bliss, I'm hoping.
Wonderful.
3 days to take yourself out of your current life and put yourself in nature, in a beautiful place, with an intimate group of women. It's for women only. Come back to the self. It's not going to be anything heavy in terms of heavy self-development classes or anything like that, but it will tap into, help you tap into back to yourself. So my intention is that it will help you feel at the end like you've been creative and expressed yourself and come back to yourself a little bit.
Feels like true renewal.
Yes. Yes, hopefully.
And I dare say that after what we've experienced in the past year plus, that we all could use at least 3 days of renewal.
Yes. I agree with that.
One of the other things I wanted to ask you about were what I've noticed, through following you on Facebook, is that you are featuring some paintings that are very unique. They seem to have taken a different turn. So some of them are zodiac, some are sacred birds, which I saw most recently.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what is emerging from within you that is coming out on your canvas?
Well, after I finished the Sacred Feminine series, which was 2016, I did take a break. I took a break for a whole year. The way I paint intuitively and what comes to me. So I don't know anybody else's, any other artist's process. I only know my own. The birds came about because, for me, birds are well, you know, for many people, actually, it's not just for me. They're like, you know, little sacred messengers, mm-hmm. Much like my butterflies, which are on all of my paintings. I have a butterfly on every single painting.
Mm.
So the birds are just a little bit of a much more higher vibration of that. And it felt right. And it felt right to me to move into painting them. The zodiac came about because that's something that I had wanted to express my version of each zodiac sign through the feminine, through my perception of the feminine. So I'm doing those two series simultaneously right now. I'm very slow.
It doesn't appear to be that from my perspective.
No, I am. Oh, it's I am. Like, believe me. You know, well, seven years to do the Sacred Feminine series. Believe me, that's a long time. But anyway.
But each one is a masterpiece. What I've seen, the detail and the energy that each exudes is just incredible. I'm so moved by them, every single one. And you know, I have this sort of visceral response, right, that speaks to me so. And I absolutely love your work. And I know that everyone who sees the pieces that you've shared here on your show page, you're just going to be blown away. Blown away. And of course, I highly recommend, you know, buying Joe's book and taking that journey for yourself, letting yourself feel, perhaps for the first time in your life, what it feels like to be free.
Yeah.
Truly free.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I know everybody is going to want to know how to find you. What's the best way?
The best way, you can contact me. Well, the best way actually is Facebook. Okay. Find me on Facebook. I'm always there. I'm never not there. So you can always contact me on Facebook, Joe Jason Artist. But you can go to my website, joejason.com. It's joejason.com. And I have my Etsy shop. You can always contact me through Etsy. I'm also there all the time too. But you can find all that on my website. You can find all of my social media and all of my classes that I offer and the readings that I offer and the retreat and the book. And the shop, you can find that all on my website.
By the way, do you have any classes coming up?
I do not. They come kind of sporadically. I don't have a pattern. So they come when I have spare time and some, you know, something comes up. So I just did one actually in January, end of January. But they'll be coming intermittently throughout the year. So if you sign up for my newsletter, you will get notifications of that.
Very good. Again, thank you so very much for being here. It is truly such an honor.
Thank you, Marcy.
And I just, like I said, I feel so at peace. Number one, knowing you're there. So deeply attuned to the energies that are really being called for at this moment, this earth, this world that we live in, and of course, you know, the whole ripple effect out into the universe. You know, the fact that you are so devoted, so committed to this work and to raising the vibrational frequency and consciousness is amazing.
Well, thank you. And thank you for acknowledging that. Because sometimes it can feel exhausting, but I appreciate you saying that. So thank you. And thank you for having me on the show. Yeah. Finally.
Yes. So happy you were here. So everyone, please tune in to Joe Jason. You can, again, Joe, will you just repeat your website and how they can find you on Facebook?
Sure. Go to my website at joejason.com. It's joejason.com. And you can find me on Facebook, Joe Jason Artist. I should pop up.
Okay, great. And is all of your information about your upcoming retreat in the fall there as well?
It is indeed. We have around between 3 to 4 spaces left. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Blissful renewal.
Yes.
What a great gift to give to yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And thank you everyone for being here and for your committed and open hearts and minds. And I want you to know how much we appreciate you being here as well. So until next time, I remain your Heart Shift coach and keep your hearts wide open. And of course, smiling, radiating all of your own light out into the world. And we're so blessed by you. So thank you so much. Bye-bye now. Bye, Joe.
Bye. Bye, Marcy.